I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, what is up, sucky daters? The Suck Army, we're back in action this week, and we have a very special co-host. We'll talk a little bit about it later, but Sydney, I don't even want to try to pronounce your last name, Lutaco?
No. Lutaco?
That was close.
Very close.
So totally. Sydney is co-hosting with us today. We've got a very special episode with Jonathan Bennett, his partner James. We're going to have Jill from Wallet Hub call in today as well, answer some emails. Sydney, thank you so much for coming in and co-hosting with us today.
I'm so excited.
And we're going to absolutely crush it.
Yes.
I'm excited to be filled in on what you've been up to since Bachelor in Paradise. We saw you last.
Yeah. I know we got to catch up.
Yeah, we do. Anyways, before we do that,
yes,
we got Jonathan Bennett. We got his partner,
James Vaughn.
James Vaughn in studio. I was going to say Sydney's last name, but I didn't want to mispronounce it. I was going to say James's last name. Didn't want to mispronounce it.
Vaughn.
Don't set yourself
so
up for failure.
I just kind of stayed quiet instead. Anyways, you guys, welcome to studio. Let's get a round of applause.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Hi, guys.
How's everything going?
I'm so excited to be here because, first of all, I think you're the only person with better hair than my boyfriend.
Get out of here.
So yeah. Right now, your hair is amazing.
Hey, we're in good company. I just got my first haircut in over a year yesterday, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
The two of you have such amazing hair.
I just cut a bunch of mine off, and I'm traumatized.
His is really good.
Yeah.
So I spent $60 to get a haircut, and it looks exactly the same. I don't know if I just got bamboozled or what. Mm-hmm. But
that's what you want, though. You don't want to be like
too drastic. Long hair, don't care, Dean.
Right.
That's good.
Don't care.
I want it to be like down past my shoulders at a certain point. I don't know. I'm working on it.
It's very all right.
Jonathan, tell the listeners where we might know you from.
Okay, so you might know me from a little movie I did. A couple of people have seen it. It's called Mean Girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
A small film, independent, indie film we did back in the day with Lohan and Faye. People, you know, critics liked it apparently, but whatever. Hoping it gains traction. But it was so fun to be involved in that film. And then I've been in a million different movies, probably I think 120 movies past 20 years. In this town they call Hollywood, but also I host a bunch of TV shows. So I host Food Network's Cake Wars, Cupcake Wars, Halloween Wars. If there's a war on Food Network, I basically host it. And they're amazing shows. They're the fan favorite shows of the network.
Nice.
Halloween Wars is the highest rated one, you know, by far of all the shows. So we're so proud and grateful to our fans for that show. And since Halloween Wars was so amazing, here's what we did. We took Halloween Wars and we made it Christmas. And there are three more chances to catch Holiday Wars on Food Network every Sunday night at 9 in December. They're amazing. They're if you like cake and sugar and the holidays, then you're going to want to tune into our show because they're awesome.
Help me understand this. Is Holiday Wars in lieu of Cake Wars? And then
in
once
lieu
holidays
of,
are
right,
over,
right.
You're going to go back to Cake Wars.
We change for the holidays. And then I don't think we're going back to Cake Wars, possibly, but we will be having a new war that I can't wait to announce in the spring. It's a new war. There's always a new war with Jonathan
Bennett. It's going to be like Valentine's Wars or something like that. Obviously, a little more creative name, but
kind of. Let's say we've done cakes and we've done cupcakes. So whatever that other snack is that you might be thinking about, we could have a war with.
Cookies.
Maybe.
Off air, we talked a little bit about gingerbread houses, and I was going to mention my disdain for gingerbread houses.
Why?
Why?
Why are there no gingerbread vans?
Oh, this guy.
Seriously.
You got to design it yourself. That's the whole point of building the house.
I suppose, but why don't those become more mainstream? I don't get it. Van life
Maybe
is
you
coming.
You should make a line of gingerbread
van life.
Vans.
So good.
Swipe up for gingerbread vans.
Well, actually, on our Christmas Cake Wars, we made a gingerbread house life size where kids could actually go in and walk around.
That's awesome.
It. So it was a life size gingerbread house.
And they could eat it while they were inside.
And they
of
could
it.
Eat it. Yeah, it was very Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, get into the oven.
There's a witch inside.
I'm just kidding. We're going to put you in a cage.
All right, Jonathan. So everyone obviously knows you because of your acting career.
Right.
Mean Girls put you on the map.
Right.
What have we seen you in lately besides Cake Wars?
Cake Wars.
That's your big thing. You love hosting that.
I mean, I love that. I mean, big. Let's see, Cake Wars. What else am I in right
now?
Babe?
I just liked the horror movie you did with
Hilary
Duff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's like one of those amazing blessings. I'm like, what movie's coming out right now that we can talk
Love
about?
That.
Great. I just work too much. No, I'm just kidding. I just did a movie with Hilary Duff that came out this year called The Haunting of Sharon Tate. It's about the Manson murders. She plays Sharon Tate. I play Jay Sebring. We get murdered. It was a really, really, really fun movie to make.
And let me tell you what helps you sleep at night. Watching your boyfriend get killed on screen.
Yeah, he
depends
loved
on the
that.
Night, though.
You want to know what, though? I saw a picture of Hilary Duff the other day on Instagram, and she's still got it.
Hilary
she's
Duff.
She's so hot.
She's gotten better looking.
She's gotten better looking, and she's like a mom now. And she's been a mom, but she just newly had a new baby. And she looks amazing. And, you know, I've worked with all these girls. I've worked with all the girls that are in that zone, right? Uh-huh. I've played their boyfriend in every movie there is. And which is a weird career, too. Like, if you look at the track record, everyone from, like, Lohan to Amanda Bynes to Hilary Duff, like, I'm always their boyfriend in the movies.
Yeah.
So it's a weird career to have, but also a fun one. But I will say, Hilary Duff is just, she's just the real deal.
Yeah.
They're all amazing, but there's something about Hilary. She's kind of just been in the business forever, and she just has this, like, blasé attitude about it, which is kind of awesome.
Well, and what's crazy too is a lot of those childhood stars kind of get derailed at some point throughout life, but it seems like she's always kind of stayed on track. Yeah, on track.
You know, and you know that happens. Like, here's the thing: I always say this when people are talking about, you know, childhood stars, or when they're talking about people like Britney Spears or, you know, Taylor Swift, these other like mega stars. When we're developing as human beings in our childhood years and even middle school, when we're learning like what relationships mean, what the world is, you're learning the fundamental basics of how to be a human being and function in society. These people aren't getting those lessons.
No.
Because they're not regular people. Like, it's just not a regular job. People always say, oh, I can't believe, you know, Britney Spears did this or Taylor Swift did this or whoever, you know, these megastars. I'm like, what were you doing when you were 15? Like, were you playing Sega Genesis and like playing Nintendo and just like having normal life where you could function as a human? These girls are not, I'm not saying making excuses for craziness, but I'm saying at the same time, you have to take it with a grain of salt because it's not regular life.
And like, it's not totally public.
It's just like, you're just, think about this. Britney Spears is 16 years old. She walks out onto a stage. She says two words, pyrotechnics go off, 2 million people scream.
Yeah.
That's like your the synapses in your brain that are firing to your perception of what reality is. And now we're like, oh, and she said this. We're like, guys, relax. Everyone calm down. Like, they have, like, you know, I'm not, you know, making excuses for things that are, you know, extremely crazy and bad. But at the same time, you got to take it all with a grain of salt.
There was a...
Yes, James?
No, and just to clarify, that is not Hilary Duff. She is very well adjusted.
Yes, she's amazing. Yeah, I'm not saying that to Hillary. I'm not saying that about Hillary's the best one there is.
Well, to that point, actually, before we went on Bachelor in Paradise, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, that we did a deep dive into our Facebooks and like your socials to like see what... I was like looking at what I was posting in 2007 when I was 15, 16 years old, and I was like, who is this person?
Right.
I'm saying the most ridiculous things
now. You're trying to be this person. Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never say that now, and if I ever said that now, I would be like very embarrassed. So it's like, A, you're a teenager, and then B, on top of that, you obviously put like the people, the public scrutinizing you for every final movie that you have.
And just your normal life. Like, you walk out of a room, a million people scream and explosions go off for pyrotechnics of a show with laser beams.
Yeah.
Like, that's not normal.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, but Dean, what you say to that though, about what you do when you were 14, 15, I found with someone who interviews celebrities for a living every day, a lot of people get locked into whatever age they became famous at because that's how people treat them. So if you're 15 and you become famous, they treat you like a 15-year-old.
Interesting.
Yeah. They continue to treat you that way the older you get, and so you just kind of get locked into that behavior.
Right?
It's a very, very interesting thing.
I even had to go through some of that, just like coming on the map when I was 20, and like that, it all happened then, and it was like, you know, now I had to grow up, and me and James always joke, because we want to do our show someday, which is Adulting is Hard with Jonathan Bennett, because like adulting is hard, and if you're an child actor and you kind of grew up doing this, which I can you know, have some of that for me as well, like, you know, all of a sudden it happens and then people just take over and start doing everything for you. So when I had to buy a car, like the 3 years ago, I was like, I don't know how to buy
a car.
He never
bought a car before. Yeah. Someone always done it for him.
And then we go to the Jeep dealership, which, by the way, Jeep is one of my favorite car brands in the world. I will drive Jeeps forever. I love you, Jeep, if you're listening. But we go to the Jeep dealership.
Jeep.
We go to the Jeep dealership. It's the Russell Westbrook one.
Okay.
Over in where it's like over in Sherman.
In LA? Well, I'm about to tell them what actually happened,
well,
so maybe don't
actually
say the name.
Okay. Well,
sorry, Russell, dude. Maybe check on your people.
Yeah, check on your people. So we go there. We're in the lobby buying a car.
No, he's in the lobby buying a car.
Okay, first
right?
of all, let's
I have
go
not
back.
Arrived
babe,
yet.
Okay, babe, no. We have a whole thing before we go in because I'm like, I don't know how to do anything. And I'm like, adulting is hard. I just go in and just give him a credit card, right?
Well, I'm just like, go over and just look at them. Don't do anything. Just look at them
and then
they'll come meet you.
And what we'll do is when I get there, they'll give us the offer and then we'll act like it's too low and we'll walk out. I'm like, too high. Well, it's too high.
He doesn't even understand.
And I'm like, great. I'm in. Let's go. So we go in and I go, as soon as they give us the offer, you'll say it's too high and we'll walk out. Then they'll come running back and they'll say, oh, you know, they'll give us a better offer. So I go in. Immediately, people start taking pictures with me in the lobby. So, like, the car dealers are looking at it going, ooh, we got ourselves a live one here, boys. Yep. Like, we're going to make some money on this. By the way, I'm buying a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Like, that's it.
Great
not
car.
An SRT, just a Jeep Grand Cherokee, not a Lamborghini. Jeep Grand Cherokee. Go on, James.
So Jonathan's like, hey, babe, I got it. Like, the paperwork's all ready to go. Just get here and, like, look at it, make sure we're good. I show up. These guys have marked it up $14,000, than, like, even, like, just an okay deal would be. Not even, like, what it should be. They were just like, because we're going to put everything possible on this because this idiot's in here taking photos with all these people. Clearly, he's got money. We'll just take everything
I don't
he's
have
got.
Money, by the way. Do you like, really I don't have money.
That's exactly what they did.
What else?
Have you met a car salesman?
I've never been to a car dealership
okay,
before.
So here's the thing.
Where'd you get your van from?
It was, like, some ridiculous, and I don't want to say it was $12,000 down, but it was something like that where they wanted like almost, I think it was $11,000 down, and then $1,000 a month. For a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
It was insane. Like, it was out of control.
And I'm looking at it going, this sounds great. Yeah, it sounds like a standard. Good idea. So then James sees it. He gets super mad, starts screaming at him.
And all right, because what I'll tell you, the one thing, like, you do not disrespect my baby. You do not do anything to hurt my baby. Yeah. I am very much a protector in that regard. So when I go in and I see somebody trying to take advantage of him, I'm like, uh-uh, this it's ain't like happening, baby. Bear. Grab your stuff. We're leaving.
And
let's
so
go.
I think it's part of the thing we talked about. I'm like, great. We're doing it's the thing scene. Where we storm out. And so I'm like, I'm leaving. And I go to the car and I get in. And I'm like, that was great, right? And he's fuming. He's like, no, that so wasn't mad. Great. That was not great. They're trying to take advantage of you. And I was like, oh, and they come running out and we got it down to a regular price. But
we got it down to a better price. Okay, because I was like, at this point, y'all, I'm just angry.
Yeah.
Like, because you tried to take advantage of my baby and we are out and I'm going to write a letter to somebody. I'm going to get real white lady real quick.
So you basically cut the price in half then, it sounds like, for the most part.
We knocked it way down. But it was just one of those things. I feel like probably there's a photo that circulates out there. You know when people like rob a place and they're like, don't let this person come in there? I think with Jonathan, they were like, oh, you can get whatever you want from him money-wise when it comes to a car. So just go ahead and take advantage.
Yeah. So that
not
was
anymore.
Adulting is hard with James and
Yeah,
Jonathan.
Little things like that. Or duvet covers. Like stuff he's like, oh my gosh, he's having to learn.
But on the bright side, now you got a great Jeep Grand Cherokee.
I love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm a big Jeep guy too. I've been driving Wranglers since
what
I was 18. It's a Mercedes Sprinter.
Oh, the Sprinter.
Yes, the high top.
It's very Handmaid's Tale.
But it's, what does that mean?
Have you not seen Handmaid's Tale?
That's what they collect the handmaids in.
Yeah, they put them in the weird creepy van.
Do you have Hulu in the van?
Do I what?
Do you have Hulu in the van?
I have Netflix, yeah.
Netflix.
Ah, Hulu.
All right, but still.
More of a Netflix
but
guy.
But that's fun.
Just down on Disney Plus yesterday, watched The Mandalorian. It was really good. But I see what you're saying. I'm a big Jeep guy, and you don't want to get taken advantage of, and I respect that you're going to step in and stand up.
Yeah, everyone needs a James in their life.
Everyone needs a James in their life for so many reasons, including me. I need a James in my life.
Yeah.
He comes in, he makes it better. He does everything right and fixes everything I can't do.
I used to do this, but on FaceTime with my dad. I bring him everywhere on FaceTime, and I'm like, okay, talk to my dad.
And if you can't get a hold of him, you can now FaceTime
me. Now I can do James. All right? It's great.
Wait, how long have you been dating for, Jonathan?
We've been together for 3 years now.
Yeah. Okay. And how'd you guys meet?
Oh, great story. So he met me and fell in love instantly is what happened.
So it was
and
love at first sight for
It was love at first sight for James. And what happened was he was hosting his show, Celebrity Page, and I went on his show to get interviewed about Halloween Wars on Food Network, not Sunday nights at 9. So if you're not watching that, make sure you watch Holiday Wars on Food Network, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Only on Food Network, starring Jonathan Bennett. Holiday Wars, Food Network, 9 p.m. All right, so I went on his show to be interviewed, and we met on camera, and we literally fell in love.
I mean, you want to tell the story?
Yeah, tell
I feel
the
like
story.
We've had to tell this, like, all the
just
aunts
tell
and uncles
the story.
And stuff.
Tell the story.
So, all right, so back it up a little bit.
Okay.
I host a show called Celebrity Page TV.
Yeah.
At the time, I think it was season 3 or 4,
yeah.
We were filming at The Grove. Yeah. So we did all
Very
of
Mario Lopez
our
of you.
Interview setups at The Grove. So Jonathan
Fountains.
Was coming in to be interviewed to talk about Halloween Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing on my show is that I'm the host of the show, so I oftentimes try to, like, get out of doing the interviews if it's, like, someone that I'm not really like, yeah, I'm
And he's also
to do.
Very unprofessional.
So I was like, I had several people that day that I was, like, interviewing, and I was like, I don't really want to do this one. Like, I haven't seen Mean Girls. Like, I'm not, like all the producers on my show, by the way, there are 29-year-old girls that are freaking out.
Oh,
they're like, you have to do this. And the producer that's on that segment is like, you have to do this pumpkin carving thing with him because it's going to be so cute. So I'm at home. I live with my best friend at the time, and I'm like trying to get out of it. And she's like, who are you trying to get out of the interview with now? And I'm like, I don't know, Jonathan Bennett. And she's like, what? Because she fits the demo. And she's like, no, you have to do the interview. I've got to get a video for my Instagram asking him what day it is. I'm like, what does that mean?
It's October 3rd.
And I'm like, fine. I'm like, I will do it, but like, you have to do something for me. She's like, whatever you want for that day, it's fine. I'm like, great. You're my assistant all day long. You have to do my research for the interview, and you have to be my assistant. She's like, fine, great, sure, whatever you need. So thank you, Reeves, because that got us to now being at The Grove doing the interview.
No, you're at the interview setting up, and I just got done doing Access Hollywood, and they're like, oh, you have to do this interview at the Grove with this guy from Celebrity Page. I'm like, ugh, fine, let's go do it. So I'm being such a brat. We drive over to the Grove. I pull up. I'm with my publicist. We're walking through, and I see them setting up the lights, and I look over, and I see this guy that's blonde hair, blue-eyed, 6'4", and I go, who is that? And they're like, that's the guy interviewing you. I'm like, look up his name. So we're like looking through the emails, trying to find his name. He's like James Vaughn with a Y. I'm like, that's just silly. And so then I go to Instagram, type it in, and on his Instagram page it says LGBTQ. And I'm like, yes, we're in. Yes. So then I run to the bathroom, and I'm like, I have to go fix my hair. So I go to the bathroom to fix my hair, and he's like, you were going to go on TV without looking in the mirror, but now that guy's hot. You're going to fix your hair? And I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. So we go to the bathroom. I walk out. His producer is standing there. I go, am I about to meet my future husband? She goes, I think so. Aww. So we walk over. They're setting up. We meet. We start talking.
Yeah, so we meet. He shows up on set. He's already like completely in love with me, and I'm like, okay, let's get mic'd up. Let's do this interview. It hasn't happened yet. But then we start talking, because you know you have that little bit of banter right before you start an interview, and we stumble up on the fact that we both have the one person in common that every gay person in Hollywood has in common, and that is Lance Bass. Okay. He is our fearless leader.
Yep. Lance Bass is our leader. Thank you, Lance. Yes. You are our gay leader.
So we have Reeves, Jade, and Lance to thank for this, because those are the people that ended up forcing us into the scenario. So we're like, oh my God, Lance, I had just been talking to his husband about something. So I was like, let's send them a Snapchat. Come here. So, and we have a photo of this moment as it went down.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, come here, Jonathan, let's send him a snap. He comes into me and like nestles like right up against like my chest. And I'm telling you guys, like, there was nothing. And then he just like wiped across
fireworks.
Me. And it was instantaneous. Like, my knees went weak. I like couldn't catch my breath. Like, butterflies were all flying around. I was like, what is happening?
You thought it was diarrhea.
I was like, this is one of two things, all right? It's either diarrhea or love, because I've experienced them both, but I'm not sure what it is. But I'm like jaded at this point too. Like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
So it was just totally bizarre. That happened for me.
And then
I think it was pretty much the same for him.
And the entire interview, I'm just like, can we make out? And I'm just being such an idiot.
The interview was a disaster.
So bad. We all the producers are mad at us. It's
which is like not something I do. You can't stump me in an interview. Like, I'll interview J-Lo when I guess fine.
Right.
But like this one, I was a fumbling mess.
Idiot. So then I leave. I'm like, can I get your number? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, great. So we get in the car. We're driving home. My publicist in the car goes, you are not calling him for 3 days. He's like, you were too much. You have to back off. You're not calling him for 3 days.
Like, he wants you to play hard to get.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I'm like, got you, fam. No big deal.
Yeah.
He drops me off in the car. I immediately pull my phone out and call him. And I'm like, he picks up the phone. He goes, took you long enough. And I go, I'm driving. Would it be weird if I was coming back because I really just need to kiss you right now? And he's like, no. I go, good, because I'm already driving. I already was in the car driving back to the Grove.
Now, mind you, I'm in the food court at the Grove eating with my producers. And I've like inhaled some Mediterranean meal with like a whole piece of garlic in it. And he's like, I'm coming to kiss you. And I'm like, oh, you know what they don't sell at the Grove? Gum. It's impossible to find gum at the Grove because they don't want it everywhere, you know? Uh-huh. So I'm now frantically running around the Grove. I've got to get gum because I'm about to kiss this guy that just made me feel butterflies for the first time in forever.
Yep.
And I finally convinced this lady that sells like little newspapers and magazines to give me her personal gum if I buy something from her stand. So I got this lady's gum. I fill my whole mouth with gum. I've now run out to the parking lot. He's on one side of the parking lot calling me. I'm on the other. Trying to get my breath freshened
up. I call him. I'm like, where are you? He's like, in the parking lot by the produce stand. I'm like, I'm by the produce stand. It's like the Notebook. We're like looking around for each other. We're like, where are you? Then we see each other. We run up and I go, let's just do it. Let's just kiss right here to see if this is crazy, because either this is really real or this is crazy. So he's like, fine. So we start. We just kiss in the middle of the parking lot. It's like the Notebook. There are
fireworks go off.
Doves.
It's crazy.
Doves come out of nowhere. They start flying. People are there. Then he trips over a pumpkin.
I trip over a pumpkin that's out of the
and
Grove.
And I pick up a banana and I'm like, sorry, hold on. Someone's calling. It's my future.
Oh my God.
Just amazing. And then we like go on a date that night. And
which I was certain he was going to mess up.
Which I was too. Because going to screw it
up. Yes, because I was like, oh, that was amazing. It was magical. Now, mind you, my best friend's there. And so she knows me. And so she's seen me date other people. And she sees what's going on. And she's like, first off, what is this? Because I've never seen this. She's like, but then don't worry, he's going to mess it up. Because I dated actors before. And they always mess it up.
What do you mean by mess it up, though?
Like, try to like show off or act too Hollywood or be all this. And I'm like, really chill. Like, I don't
do
want
I
that.
Do I look Hollywood right now? Like, do
for the I record, John is wearing an Ohio, what is it, University of Ohio shirt?
Just Ohio. Okay. From sure. Some, like, dad shorts. Like, these are,
some
like,
11-inch shorts,
these are
yep.
Burlibo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Burlibo shorts.
My friend Trey's company.
Old socks. Go on.
Point is, not Hollywood.
I do not look Hollywood.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was on a set, and he looked Hollywood.
I looked,
you know,
amazing.
What I'm saying?
Right.
I looked
amazing. You're doing interviews.
I looked amazing.
You got your man in front of you.
He had makeup on.
Seen, look at his face.
No, it's a little Hollywood right now.
Go either way.
So anyway.
Here's comfort right here.
Thank you.
At the time, my best friend Reeves and I live at the beach, and so he shows up, and I'm like, all right, well, he's coming up, you know, for dinner. He gonna mess this up, but it was a cute little day. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, there goes my butterflies. We'll just let him go. He shows up. We're on the fourth floor. I come out on our balcony. I look down and I see him. He's got two hoodies, and he's like, hey, you want to go to the beach? And I'm like,
whoa. So we go to the beach. Don't even eat.
That's all I want to do.
Sit on the beach, and we talk for 4 hours, and we connect over all these things. We both lost our dads to cancer the same year, so we connected over that. So we just instantly hit it off. And now we're here doing Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, babies.
Yeah.
Teach us like, your way.
It was,
it
was
it instant. It all leads up to this one moment.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 You want to for the listeners out there, before we started recording the podcast, James and Jonathan brought their dog in.
Yes.
Most adorable 5-month-old
yes.
Labradoodle.
Golden Doodle.
Golden Doodle.
So fluffy.
And they were talking about how it's got this air of confidence about it.
Mm-hmm.
And after hearing you guys share that story, I'm starting to see where he gets that confidence from.
He knows he came from love.
Yeah. Right. Comes from love. Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, you know what? His name is Yes. He comes from Sunkissed Golden Doodles.
Yes.
And he, yes, like Y-A-S-S-S. Yes, the dog. Follow
yes,
him on Instagram.
Look at him. Like, when
he's on IG.
Because
like, yeah. Then if you're at the dog park and you're calling him, you're like, yes!
How fun is that?
And we're that. Just those gays. That's funny. And so he's the best dog. He comes from Sunkissed Golden Doodles. If you like a Golden Doodle, check him out there.
So yeah. What's interesting about your guys' story, though, is it was like there was an instant connection, right? Because
yeah.
for this is a dating podcast, of course, so we always have people email in about how do I make the first move? How do I ask him out on a date? How do I do this, this, and this? But what you guys just did is you just broke all the rules, called him right away,
mm-hmm.
and you said, I'm coming back.
Right. You know, I always come from the school of when you know, you know.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. when you know, you know. Like when you find the one, you won't be wondering, is this the one? It'll just happen.
Hmm.
Like, you'll just know, like, yep, that's the, oh, excuse me. You'll know that's the one. I got so excited, I just started hitting the microphone. You'll know that's the one instantly, in my opinion.
And everything since it's been good, smooth sailing, everything.
No, everything's been crazy, but good.
Yeah.
Happy. Yeah, I mean, then you have to, like, figure out how to navigate with each other, what works for you, what doesn't. But the biggest thing I've learned is a lot of the mistakes from past relationships. I think Jonathan's done it too. And then, of course, you learn things in your relationship, what works, what didn't, but then talk about what works and what didn't. Mm. Like, anytime there's ever a problem with us, I feel like it usually comes like, oh, we didn't talk about it. But the minute you talk about it, then that whole tension of like, what was in your head and what
the story in my head was, the story in my head, the story in my head,
actually gets corrected. And then you're like, oh, so it's seriously communication, which, like, I have had a relationship that did not have communication in it, and it was terrible.
Right.
So we really make it a point, and it really works for us. Like, he's my best friend because of it.
And that's a big thing. The story in my mind, I think I got that from Brene Brown. The story in my mind works for us. So, for example, if I get out of the shower and I call in to the other room because I need constant validation, and I say, hey, babe, what are you doing?
Great time to get it when you just got out of the shower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he doesn't respond, or he responds with like something quick and just kind of blows it off. The story in my head is, okay, he doesn't love me. He's mad at me.
Yeah.
I did something wrong, and I start racking my brain.
Yeah.
When really, the answer is, when I'll tell him, I'll say, you didn't really respond the way I thought I wanted you to. And so the story in my head is that you hate me, or you're mad at me, or did something wrong. What did I do wrong? And he's like, no, baby, I was literally returning a work email.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So like literally, even if it's the smallest thing in the world, tell your partner the story in my head this. The story in my head is this. This is how I feel. Because like, you'll go through, we will self-sabotage ourselves. We are so good at self-sabotaging our own egos and our relationships and like telling ourselves how bad we are and how much the other person doesn't like what we're doing. We're so good at that when
humans,
it couldn't be
humans,
farther from the tooth. So stop, like, don't self-sabotage yourself. Call it out with your partner every time you have any inkling of a feeling that's uncomfortable or doesn't feel good. Just say it.
Because otherwise it festers.
Right.
Otherwise it just gets bigger
resent,
and bigger. It's like a snowball.
And then you're like, and then I'm like sitting packing my stuff. Like, he comes in. I'm like, well, you didn't say hello to me after
no.
I got out of the shower.
No.
And now I feel it. And so I have like all my stuff in suitcases. I'm like, I'm leaving because I know you want to break up. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, like literally just communicate about every little thing. Like that's our key. So that has like helped us a lot.
Or it comes out later when, like, you're triggered by this one thing and you're like, I don't even know why I'm so upset right now because you just didn't take out the trash. But really, it's because four things earlier.
Yeah. It's like,
because
you just keep, I love visual aids. I'm playing with Coffee Mates now. It's like you just keep stacking things on top of stuff. So instead of it being this one little thing, this one little Coffee Mate 20, here, it's now 20 of them and they all hit a lot harder. It is totally that. But to go back to what you said, Dean, about like the rules of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that's like somebody that, like, you know, you always find like the people that can't, what is it? You can't do, you teach.
Those
and you always see like the
do,
matchmakers
teach.
Or people that like aren't really in relationships.
Yeah,
those little rules exist. But like, think about it as a human. If I go on a date with someone or if I meet someone, do I want to wait 3 days in this world where everything's so instant and quick and social media and short little blurbs and like even TV's turning to Quibi where it's 8 minute episodes?
Right.
Do I want to wait that long to hear the validation or to hear that you feel the way I feel or that you're interested or no?
Right.
Like, so I don't know what that old antiquated rule is, but I think that should be thrown out. Like,
absolutely.
Just be honest. You'd be like, yo, this is how I feel. Then just know that, like, if you're going to be that person that says, this is how I feel, be prepared to hear, this is not how I feel
back.
And if they do feel great back, then awesome.
It's an interesting point you make, too, with, like, the world that we live in now with it's all instant delivery of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So why can't you, I guess, apply that to dating as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't swipe in.
Yes. And also,
you're swiping.
A big thing I learned is because I've been through a lot of different relationships in my life, but, like, don't take, I'm not saying don't take, but be wary of advice from your friends that give you advice that have never been in a relationship in their life.
Yes.
Even it, like, if you, we all know that girl, you know, we'll just call her Becky, right? Like, Becky, your friend, has never been in a relationship, but every time you're in or out of your relationship, has all the advice she wants to give you of why. And I take that back to, like, the thing that Brene Brown says about Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena, where it's like, unless you're down in the arena with blood on your face, getting stuff done, you can apply, you know, I'm not going to, your advice isn't really valid to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that as relationships. Unless you're a person that's been in and out of relationships and has learned from them, or you've been in a relationship that's extremely successful and you have the keys to why that works, I'm not here for your comments.
There's that meme where it's like relationship advice from people that are in a relationship, small book, relationship advice from people that are not in a relationship, and it's a super thick book.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It makes me think of, do you guys follow Nick Viall on Instagram?
Of course.
He does
Sunday questions with Nick, and it's always dating advice.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it's good advice.
I like them, actually.
But he's a single guy. It's like, how much stock can you put in advice from a single person like that?
I haven't seen that. We did, though, actually just do a story on Celebrity Page about him, how his Instagram is all thirst traps.
And it is.
Literally the whole story. Like,
attaboy,
he's cooking shirtless. He's giving advice shirtless.
And it makes me thirsty because he's fucking hot.
Yeah. I would be shirtless all the time if I was Nick, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I would be shirtless all the time. Hence why I'm here, covered up.
But also, but there is
a
little
3-year relationship in dad shorts and a
very love. This is what I always tell Jonathan, though, too. Like, I'm like, babe, you know what? This is what love did. Like, I don't work out as much anymore. Like, it's crazy.
At all.
When you,
you don't work out at all.
That's what you're going to get, my love. But it's like one of those things. I've never been in a relationship where I was like so comfortable that like I could just like, you know, I'm not going to work out, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I know this is solid. This is real. This is secure. So I'm sorry, baby. This is the body you're getting.
It's fine. I'll take it.
I want to talk to you guys all day, every day. But we have to take a break. But before we do that, what's next for you guys? Dating for 3 years. Is there anything on the horizon in terms of the relationship?
I mean,
what was that thing Beyonce said?
How do you cover his ears?
Like,
in
it, you gotta do something.
What was that thing? Yeah, what was that again?
Is there a way to cover
like
his ears?
No,
there's not. He's got headphones on. He can hear everything I say. So,
how does it work? Because
how about just a wink?
Right, because you're like, how does it happen? Do you? The next thing would be marriage, right?
Right.
So it'd be like, do you propose to you? Do you propose to you?
Yeah, that's a question.
What a great question, Dean. Thanks for asking. So,
we've already covered this.
So the thing is, I am a control freak and I want some type of amazing thing if or when we were to get proposed or take it to the next level.
Get
engaged.
Proposed.
That's the word, engaged,
when
right?
Proposed. When we get proposed.
It's my baby.
When we get
teaching new words every day. The word is engaged, my love.
Words are hard. Adulting is hard. The next thing will be to do that, but I was thinking I want to do it because I want there to be like some type of greatest showman performance. I want there to be like a flash mob, like all these things, because I'm extra like guacamole and at Chipotle.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, good. Just
dollar.
Making sure you're with me on that. And what I realize is that if he does it, I don't have to do any of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you, that's
all
why
I
you
have
want me
to do
ask?
Is say yes.
But you want to put
I the,
want to
put oh. it on, but I also don't want to do the work. Yeah, so I'm like, well, it's kind of nice. If you want to do it, you go for it. Because I just have to show up, look pretty, and say yes.
But wait, are you expecting maybe. The flash mob
if
type
I say
of vibe?
Yes, maybe I'll say it.
Oh.
You never told me that was the reason you wanted to do it. I just thought you wanted to just feel like a prince in the moment. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I can give you that.
Mm, yeah, I mean, I do want to feel like a prince, do the but at work? The same time, like... It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
I'm here trying to, you know, build our empire.
I have a solution, perhaps. So yeah. I have two friends who are getting married, two women, and their plan is to both propose to each other at separate times.
Yeah, different ways.
Yeah.
So what, you like, one doesn't say yes? She's like, no, I'm going to think about it. And then like, I'm going to hit you up with a ring later.
You say yes, but you both get to propose.
And then like a month later, the other one will propose or something like that.
I like that idea. And maybe we'll get together after and come up with some ideas.
Jonathan, tell us one more time about your TV show.
Oh, what TV show? The one that you have a pillow for right there below you? Pull it out. Deanie, look what I got you, buddy. I got you a pillow of me during Holiday Wars. We'll take a picture.
James, is this okay? I'm going to spoon Jonathan every night in my van.
Spoon away, please. As long as you promote the show, spoon away.
You are so cute with me. There you go. Wait, hold on. And there it is. Yeah, right here. Look right here. And boom, boom. So Dean has a pillow now of me on Holiday Wars. So that way, I know the van can get lonely, but now you can cuddle with me every night. And that's watch me on Holiday Wars on Food Network Sunday nights at 9 o'clock.
I appreciate it. Hollywood's hottest new thruple right here.
There we go. Yes. James, Dean, and Jonathan. I like it.
You know that's going to end up on a vlog somewhere.
James, Dean, and Jonathan.
Thank you guys so much for coming. We appreciate it. I honestly could talk to you all day.
I could talk to you all day.
I'm that's a little sad.
Look at your hair all day. It's fantastic.
Get out of here. Get out of here. No, literally, get out of here.
Dean, can I say one thing? Can I say one thing? I think this. I get this all the time, but it's the first time I can actually say it back to someone. Dean, your hair looks sexy. Push back.
Oh, mic drop.
My life's been made. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. All right, and we are back with Jill Gonzalez. Jill, are you there?
I'm here.
Jill, how are you? We're sorry to keep you waiting for so long, but we're so happy to have you. For the listeners out there, as we mentioned above, Jill is an expert to help discuss the worst and best places to date in America. Jill, give the listeners a quick rundown, a little bit of an introduction on who you are as well.
Sure. So I work for a company called Wallet Hub, also a huge Bachelor fan, so this is a big honor for me. Yeah, and what we do is basically look at the economics of all different things, whether it's the holiday season, whether it's getting together with family, how much your dinner is going to cost, but also dating economics out there for singles from city to city, and kind of the numbers game, you know, how easy is it to date depending on where you live.
So what exactly would be like a key statistic you guys would look for?
So we look at everything from like the cost of a date. So right now the average cost of just one date, no matter where you live in the U.S., is just over $102.
What?
Yeah, and that's just the average. So if you live in L.A., if you live in New York, you know, if you live in a major city, it's oftentimes at least double that. In New York, you're looking at like $250 for one date.
Yep.
So let me ask you this, because from someone that doesn't come from much money, what is it like? Like, what if I go on a date in New York or Los Angeles, but I can't, like, I'm unable to spend that much money? Does that mean that my ability to date is significantly lower than the others?
No, I would say that as long as you're aware of that, you're budgeting for that, you know, there are always no and low cost activities to go out and do. So in LA, that might be like taking a hike. In New York, that might be like ice skating right now.
Yeah.
So there are definitely options out there, but I think for people, especially just starting out, and you know, you might be on the apps or something like that, just budgeting for however many dates you want to go on is something you should do ahead of time.
So Wallet Hub is a personal finance website, right?
Right.
So it's not just about dating. It's just basically like this is, you guys just basically provide metrics for anything and everything, and you recently just ran the study on the 180 plus U.S. cities across those indicators that you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So what cities did you find were the best for singles?
So this year, and it changes from year to year, but just the top 10 include places like Seattle, Madison, Los Angeles ranked 7th, Chicago ranked 6th, Portland number 5, San Diego 4, San Francisco 3, Denver number 2, And Atlanta actually ranks number one.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in real quick and call baloney on that.
Why is LA on here?
So I've lived in LA for 4 years now. I lived in Denver for 2 years after college. And I don't know, maybe I'm just bad at dating, but it never really seemed to be like the hot spot for dates. You know what I mean? Sydney, what do you think?
Yeah, like what are the requirements to be on the top 10? Is it like cost of date or is it like based on how many people are single here? How does that work?
Yeah, the biggest factor is going to be dating opportunities. So that's number one, the share of single population. So in LA, that's a huge number. In most of these cities, it's a huge number. You know, it's a lot of singles kind of working, dating. It's not really, you know, family-based city. So just the share of singles is why a lot of these cities are in the top 10. Also, some gender balance going on. And a lot of both online and mobile dating opportunities. And then one other important factor is which of these cities have the most active Tinder users.
Oh, wow.
And that number is very high in LA.
That's probably very true.
Yeah, my, Tinder.
The big thing with Denver was when I lived there, there was a nickname for it amongst basically everyone that lived there. We all called it Menver because the ratio of guys to girls is so imbalanced. It's like 7 guys per 1 girl.
I'm moving to Denver.
I was going to say, if you're a girl, move to Denver because it's definitely the hot spot to go date or at least be available to date. But I guess I never really ran into that too much. I think a lot of it is there's like a big tech scene blowing up out there. And then Los Angeles, I guess the only reason I called baloney in Los Angeles was because it just seems like everyone in LA, no one's looking for a relationship. So it's
a
like,
lot
yeah,
of
you
are single.
Yeah,
here, I feel like
you're like perpetually single in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So I guess, and you can't really quantify that in a metric where you're like, okay, a lot of people are single, but how many of them want to be single?
Like choosing to be single versus like looking for dates.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think,
Jill? That's one question that we've been asked too. It's like, okay, is this the best for singles to stay single? Or is this the best for singles to settle down? And we've heard kind of a mix between the two, to be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, you know, these cities are great for people who might be newly single, who, you know, do want to date around and then eventually settle down. So, you know, that mix is kind of what we're hearing. We see a lot of cool things to do in these places, a lot of, like, fun and recreational activities. Mm-hmm. But, again, the economics just, they really add up.
That's what they point towards. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say I'm single and I want to date someone. What is one of the worst towns for me to live in America?
So some of the worst places on here, just for bigger cities, I mean, one, it's just a lot of suburban places where you would think that there are a lot more families. Mm-hmm. But some other places on here that are a little bit more recognizable, so Detroit, Michigan. Mm. Is near the bottom. So a lot of this, too, goes back to, like, job aspects and housing affordability. A lot of these cities that were in the top 10 have great job markets, and that's why young people want to go there.
Right.
Other places down here toward the bottom, Philadelphia, Memphis, Tennessee, Newark, New Jersey, kind of right outside New York itself. So A lot of the bigger suburban areas where there are more families or just the kind of areas that need a boost job-wise.
It's interesting to look into the numbers behind a lot of this stuff because I have some stuff in front of me here, like Indianapolis has the lowest average price for a bottle of wine at $375, four times lower than Salt Lake City and West Valley where it's $1,528. And it's just stuff that obviously like applies to every date that you go on, but you never really think to like A, quantify it, and then B, put it in comparison to other places like that. It's really interesting to kind of see the numbers behind it all.
Yeah, absolutely. So for a bottle of wine, you know, that, you know, like $375, I guess I could see that somewhere at like a Costco. But like when we're comparing cocktail prices in LA or in New York, when you're, you know, getting cocktails for up to $25 for one, and you compare that to even in Atlanta, where the costs are like, you know, you can still get a basic martini for $10. You know, even just comparing it within the big cities and, you know, maybe comparing the coasts to more the Midwest or the South, just huge differences, even on one date.
I'll never forget the first time I went to New York. I was like 22 years old and I went on a date with this girl who I was talking to. And we went to the rooftop bar of some hotel and I bought us the first round of drinks. And the first round of drinks came out to $94.
Yep.
And it blew me away. I went to college in Colorado Springs, which is like low cost of living. I paid like $150 a month for rent and meals were like less than $5. Every drink was like, it was like a dollar a drink, right? And then I go to New York And it was unbelievably high.
You have to like pregame for dates in New York.
100%. You probably sneak in like flasks in your socks.
I have done
and just
that
pouring
before.
Them in drinks, or in your wallet. Yeah,
your purse,
exactly.
Yeah, you bring a little water bottle.
Yeah, that maybe that's what you should account for next, Jill. Is just maybe what states or what cities are the most like sneakable for that kind of stuff, you know? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Then you'll have a tough time in LA. You need more clothes in New York.
Well, that was the hard thing coming to LA too, was I was, like I said before, I've been pretty broke my whole life, and so coming to LA and you go on dates and dates are $100+, I'm like, well, crap, I can't really be doing this every week.
Have you ever asked the girl to split the bill on the first date?
Probably.
Yeah. Seems like a you move.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I can't remember any specific example, but I'm sure that I have at some point in my life. Okay, let me ask both of you guys this, Jill and Sydney. If you're on a first date and a guy asks you to split the bill with him, what's your reaction?
Generally among my friends, it's not great.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
among
especially if he on the first asks date. You on the date.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like whoever asks and whoever like picks the place needs to expect to pay for it.
That's fair.
I'll take that as the word, then.
We do have a horror story of one of our producers of this podcast, actually, who went on a first date, and they split the bill, and it became a very contentious topic of conversation.
Yeah, usually their friend comes home, and they're like, well, he made me split it, so we're never going out again. So, yeah.
But the chemistry was there.
Maybe it wasn't fully there, and then that was like the nail in the coffin.
What I lack for chivalry, I make up for in charisma. I
do have a lot of charisma. I'll give you that.
That's my plan. Okay, so Jill, so for the listeners out there that are interested in hearing more about the best and worst cities for singles, what do you suggest? Where do they go?
Yeah, head to wallethub.com. This is best and worst cities for singles for this year. And we also have a bunch of tips at the bottom to kind of plan ahead, to budget for dates, to know that it is a numbers game. And especially around this time of year with the holidays coming up, just some feel good, you know, be patient tips.
Yeah.
Made me feel a little bit better about myself. So yeah, you can head there, wallethub.com.
Let me ask you this. What do you mean by numbers game?
So it's a numbers game, just dating now in terms of how many dates you need to go on with how many people. And then for each date, the numbers of not only dollars that are going to add up, but even things to do that you kind of run out of quickly. Like in this app society, I feel like there's a new kind of dating trend that, you know, you see every month, especially in the bigger city. So almost like a list of who you're going on dates for, how much they're costing, and where you're going.
You guys should start a dating like side part of your website, of wallethub.com, and make it like a, like categorize people by economic brackets.
Oh God,
valuable people,
illegal.
And you just match people that way. It's like, it's just another matching system. You know what I mean?
So we can't move up or down in class. We have to stay.
Yep. If you're middle class, you're dating middle class, and vice versa.
Okay. We're all splitting bills then.
I just want to put it out there that we're not doing that. Whoever's listening to this, if our lawyers are, we're not doing that.
I'm just saying you're missing out on a great business opportunity, but hey.
That's your next app, Dean.
Yeah, there we go.
We're opting out of that one.
And then I'm in jail. Anyways, Jill, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We're definitely going to check out wallethub.com to see the 2019's best and worst cities for singles list. And kind of, I think there was 35 key metrics that you guys look into, right?
Yeah.
Cool. I want to look into that too. It's just always fun to kind of see and learn more about it. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jill.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
The holidays are here and everybody is traveling because you have to go on a flight to see this family for Christmas and then you have to go on another flight to visit that family for New Year's. So it's important to have very nice luggage, very durable luggage, and that's why I'm here to talk about Away luggage. Now, Away creates thoughtful products built for the modern traveler and how the modern traveler sees the world. They've started with the perfect suitcase and now they offer a range of essentials, all of which will make your travels more seamless. Whoever said it's all about the journey has never traveled during the holidays. I think you and I both agree. It's probably the most stressful, craziest time to hit the road. But Away's products are designed to work and fit together, which makes travel smoother for the holidays and beyond. Now, all of Away's suitcases are thoughtfully designed to last a lifetime with durable exteriors that can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. And if you've ever picked up your bag from baggage claim and seen it roll down that metal hill and crash into the metal conveyor belt, you know that you need a tough tough suitcase. Away products are designed to last a lifetime. If any part of your suitcase breaks, Away's standout customer service team will arrange it to have it fixed or replaced. There's also a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. If you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund during that period. No ifs, ands, or asterisks. That's a 100-day trial. Now, this is very important. This is the most important part. If you want $20 off any suitcase or bag, you can visit awaytravel.com/help and use promo code HELP during checkout. Once again, if you want $20 off your Away luggage today, all you have to do is go to awaytravel.com/help and use the promo code HELP. That's H-E-L-P to get $20 off your Away luggage today.
All right, and we're back. Sydney, you've been co-hosting this whole show with us so far.
Yes.
And we haven't even been caught up to you with you for your life yet.
I know.
What's going on?
I just moved here. I live in LA now.
You moved from New York?
I moved from New York City to LA, like, I guess now 3 months ago.
Where do you live in LA?
I live in Hollywood with Kirpa.
Nice. Yeah. You guys were on the same season together, right?
Yeah, we were in Colton season together.
How's that going?
Good. Yeah. She's not here a lot, so I kind of like run the apartment, which is kind of nice.
Where is she?
She does like traveling for like charity stuff. Oh. So yeah, she's all around. But
why didn't Kirpa go to Bachelor in Paradise?
She was like supposed to, but then they told her that they didn't want her to come in at the end. So then she didn't come. So I was like waiting for her to come down the stairs like every day.
Oh, like she wanted to be early cast, like original cast kind of thing?
Yeah, well, that's what the show told her. Like she was like kind of waiting to hear. And then they were like, oh, it's like the end already. So you're not coming. Yeah.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Especially for you if you guys are that close, right?
I know. We're all waiting for her. We're like, okay, today Kirpa's coming.
But for the listeners out there, it was mind-blowing to see how much everyone loved Sydney down there. There wasn't a single person that had a single negative thing to say about you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't date any really, but I had a lot of friends on the beach.
I've done the show quite a few times. the Bachelor shows.
Have you?
For those out there that don't know. Because of that, I've met a lot of contestants on sets of the shows or on whatever, wherever we are. And I don't think I've ever seen or met anyone on a show that's been as unanimously beloved as Sydney Lutaco.
Lutaco. We'll just ignore my last name. Lutaco. Oh, that's really sweet. Yeah.
It's true, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was like a great thing about me being there because I was like friends with everyone, but it also didn't contribute to me like being successful dating wise.
Well, you were
like
dating Mike for a hot second.
Yeah, but like nothing, I'm not engaged. Like I'm not, like didn't really come out with anything. Yeah. So, I mean, I had like little relationships on the beach, but nothing like stuck.
But why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I was friend zoned pretty quickly.
By Mike?
Not by Mike.
Oh.
But by a lot of the guys, like, because I was there day one. And then like the first like 3 days, I thought I was going home. I was like, well, packing my bags because everyone thinks I'm their BFF, so yeah. And I was like a lot of people's therapists too, I feel like, too.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
It kind of sucks like once that happens the first time, for whatever reason it happens, it almost kind of like it's like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
Where then exactly. Other people are like, oh, like Sydney's great to
She's
talk
the
to.
Friend.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And they're like, I heard you talk to my friend and helped him out.
Yeah.
So like, I'm gonna come do that with you. I'm like, okay, well.
Who were you excited to meet going into Paradise?
I was really like open to like a lot of people.
Yeah.
But then it's hard because then people start coupling up and you're like, okay, well, that one's checked off. That one's checked off.
Well, wouldn't you just like insert yourself and be like, oh, let's give this a shot?
I mean, you do, but then you don't want to be like, remember me? Like when they're like making out, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. That makes sense.
I remember you came out of the beach. You didn't even talk to me.
Well, I didn't have any time.
You talked to everyone but me.
No, I talked
that
to.
That is not true.
I talked to Katie and then I talked to Demi and then I talked to Kaylin.
You talked to Anyeka. You talked to Tayshia. You talked to everyone.
No.
And Nick, it was different, yeah.
Maybe you're right.
We had to catch up on other things.
There's a lot of chaos going on down there, you know what I mean?
Don't take it personal.
I'm sorry. I was just
Dean friend-zoned me before he even met me.
I was just floating around aimlessly. Anyways.
Yeah, okay, it worked out.
So you moved from New York to LA.
Yep.
What was dating in New York like, first dating? Because you're dating in LA, obviously.
Yeah, I'm trying. Oh, I had my first LA dating experience.
Can we hear about it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's like the most LA thing I've ever experience. So a friend set me up with this guy who like was texting me, whatever. And like, oh, he seemed normal. But like, I wasn't super excited about it. I was like, whatever, I need to go on dates. Like, we'll start doing this. Immediately, he was like asking me for my sizes, like to order me things to bring to the date, the first date we were going to have.
Weird.
Yeah, I was like, no, you don't. I don't need presents. Like, yeah. I don't know you. Like, let's just like meet. And he was like, first date, we'll go to Nobu and do all these things. I was like, I mean, I'll go to Nobu. Like, sure. So they gets my sizes. I was like, put up a fight, but then I was like, you know what? Here's my sizes. Like, we'll take presents, whatever. So the first date, we meet for like coffee because we didn't end up going to Nobu. And he brings me like a shirt, and then he's like, the next date, I'll bring you your shoes. So every time he was like trying to meet me, he was like promising me a gift. And then after we have the first date, it was like fine. And then he starts sending me things to my house. Like, he sent me like a cupcake the first day, didn't get it. And then I was like, it's okay, I don't need a cupcake.
What do you mean didn't get it?
Like, I didn't, my like downs, I didn't know. Like, he said it as a surprise. Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, how am I supposed to know that you delivered a cupcake to my house? So then he sends me a creation bowl the next day because it's like a healthier option. And I was like, I got that one. And then we meet again, and he gives me Jimmy Choo shoes.
What's that?
They're like really expensive, like designer shoes.
Okay.
This is second date. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I wasn't really that into him. And then he was just like, I think he was like trying to get me to hang out with him with gifts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not my love language. This is not working out.
Especially right out of the gates like that.
Literally. It was like kind of creepy. So then I returned the shoes actually the other day, and this guy bought these shoes in January of 2019. So that's like last year.
So he just happened to have the size.
In my size around his house. So yeah, we're not dating.
So you only hung out, you only went on two dates with this guy.
Yeah, I couldn't keep getting random gifts for doing nothing. It felt like grimy to me. I don't know.
How did you put an end to it? Did you?
I was just like, we're just not the right fit.
Okay, but when you guys were together, what was it like?
We talked about like, no, we talked about like workout classes and like what the weather was in LA versus New York. So I'm like, this is, and we did that on both dates. So I'm like,
Did you reach out to your friend and you're like, what the hell? Why'd you set me up with this dude?
Like, is he normally this interesting? She was like, yeah, he likes to like treat girls really well with like gifts and stuff. I was like, okay, well, why did you set me up with him? But
I guess it's kind of like a good thing, but it's just
too much
too soon.
Yeah, I guess it's for like the right person. Like, that's the thing. It's like, if I'm like dating you for a while and you're giving me gifts, I'd be like, oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. Like, you thought of me, but I don't know you and you're giving me like present.
My biggest issue with that kind of stuff is it's like, if you don't know me and you're doing these things, then that means you're probably doing them for a lot of other people too.
To get other things. Exactly. I mean, he had my size waiting in his house for a year. So I'm like, yeah, this is not the first time.
That's so funny that you were able to find out when the shoes were purchased.
I know. Cause I was like, I must get like store credit for these.
Yeah.
And I was like, do not call him though. Cause I don't want to like, let him know that I'm returning them.
Yeah.
And yeah, so she found out for me.
So that's like your only dating experience in LA.
Yeah. Well, that kind of creeped me out for a little bit. So I'm taking a little hiatus.
Why not like jump on the apps?
I'm on some apps. Okay. Some apps.
We're a big fan of the apps here at Help Us Hooker Dating.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Well, I'm not on any personally.
What's the general podcast favorite?
I was a big fan of Bumble for a long time.
Okay. My friends, you didn't have to do any of the work.
It's nice when a girl reaches out to you first. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Nice.
A lot of my friends are on Hinge and they really like Hinge.
I like Hinge.
Before I started dating Caitlin, I was on Raya for a couple months.
Okay. Raya will not accept me.
Why?
I don't know. I've been on the waiting list forever.
Oh.
It's fine.
That's so weird because I would like send guest passes to my friends who are, you know, like regular.
I had two people send me guest passes. Nope.
But that's what I'm saying. Like my friends who are like regular, like they have regular jobs.
Yeah.
They have like, you know, 900 followers on Instagram. I don't know if that's the criteria
I
for
entry.
I truly
don't know.
They got accepted.
Well.
That's weird.
I know. They won't let me in.
I will say of all the apps, Raya was the one that I met up the least amount of people with.
I mean, I could see that. But that's one you have to actually pay for, isn't it?
You pay like $8 a month.
Okay, so.
But for me, it was just more of like, it was fun to see who's on it.
Yeah.
You know
like,
what I mean?
Oh, that's a celebrity. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I matched with like an Olympic gold medalist once, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Talked to her though. Anyways. So you obviously came to LA at the best time because New York in the winter is brutal.
Yeah, I'm not missing that at all.
Why did you move here? Just for fun?
I was in New York for 10 years, and I was just kind of done, I think. I was like, I was dancing for the Knicks there, and then when I went on Bachelor, I had to quit dancing for them.
Yeah.
So then I was like, there's nothing really keeping me in New York and I didn't want to like move home. And I'm still in like the dance industry and stuff. So it's either New York or LA usually.
Will you dance for the Clippers or the Lakers?
I don't know. We'll see. Usually those auditions are like in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you got here a little too late for them this year.
Yeah. But that was never like my main goal. I just kind of fell into that because a friend from college was in it.
Hmm.
It was great. It was like an awesome job and like I met like awesome people. But we'll see. I'm like auditioning a little bit. It's like always like tough though.
Like auditioning for dance stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you meet guys dancing?
No.
Ever?
Ever. I mean, you meet gay men, which are great.
Yeah.
I mean, you can meet some.
You're not going to date any of them.
Yeah. No. So that's my big issue is like I went to college and it was like mostly women and like gay men. And then I graduated and I teach in a fitness company that's all women. And then I went to dance on the Knicks, which is all women. So it's like, yeah, I've been around a lot of ladies. So it's hard to meet men that way.
So my roommate, one of my best friends, is dating a Lakers girl.
Yeah.
But he met her
through her friend met my other best friend on Hinge or Bumble or one of the two.
Okay.
And then my friend and this girl met through them. So I guess my point is, by dancing, even though it's not like you're directly meeting guys through dancing, you can still like indirectly meet them.
True.
You
know, I'm still waiting for that.
But I feel like obviously you're not, if you're not prioritizing a relationship, it's like, what's the rush anyways? Because you're what, 26?
I'm 28.
Oh, wow. You're actually running out of time then. Yeah. That's not good.
Clock is ticking.
That's not good. I'm just kidding. You're 28 years old, especially in Los Angeles. That's like the new 21. Tori over here has shared a lot of her dating stories with us. And honestly, as a girl dating in Los Angeles, that's why when Jill talked to us, she goes, yeah, LA is the seventh best city in America to date in. And was New York up there too? I don't remember.
New York was not even on the list. Okay. I'm like, I think we're just trying to ignore New York.
I will say, as a former LA boy, dating in LA for a girl must be one of the worst things absolutely in the world.
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay, so we have an email from Courtney titled Splitting Dates. And she says, we live in Fresno, California. He prefers we split dates 50-50, like he pays for one date and then I pay for the next. Is that how millennials date right now? I hear that seems to be the new norm. What are your thoughts?
I like that. But then then where are you going on each date? So like one guy gets to the expensive date and the other person goes to like get coffee. Like you have to like make it even somehow. Like what if they just split the check every time? You know,
to go Dutch every single time.
Yeah, if you're gonna split things.
Here's my question with it too: is like when I go, when Kaylin and I go on a date, I eat all my food and then basically half of her food. Yeah. So does that mean I pay for three quarters of the meal? Or
that's a good point. I guess.
But this is all post first date, right? Like, let's say you went on a date.
Yeah.
And the guy asked you to split the bill with him the first time.
We talked about this, and we don't like that.
We don't like that.
We don't like that. At least for the first date, because I want to if you ask me out and you organize.
But what if you ask the guy out?
I haven't done that yet, so I'll let you know.
Do you like go out on the weekends?
A little bit. Depends.
Do you meet guys out, like in clubs or bars or wherever you go?
No, I've always had an issue or a problem with that. I've always been told I look intimidating. So people,
RBF?
I have RBF, and I guess I'm not approachable. I don't know.
I mean, I didn't even want to talk to you on the beach. So
yeah,
I guess
exactly.
Maybe there's some merit to that
it
idea.
Happens, right? I'm subconsciously doing it. I haven't since moving here. It's pretty rare. Or you get like quartered by the guy that you don't want to talk to, and then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Then all the other guys are like, oh, she's talking to someone, you know?
I don't know, but I can imagine how difficult that must be.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Okay, so your recommendation for Courtney is?
I guess split halfway each time if you were trying to split things, because otherwise, if I was doing that, then I would be like, well, on my date, we're going to get, go on a walk.
You took me to Subway. I took you to Nobu.
Yeah, so it's not the same, right?
That's what we do. That's what Kaylin and I do, is we basically split everything.
But I guess it also means like, how you are economically. Like, maybe one person makes a lot more money.
Yeah, so Kayla makes a lot more money than I do.
Yeah, she does. So then, then she could probably pay for the note. It depends on what the couple is, I guess.
Right, and how established you are.
Yeah.
I think once you get past, once you guys are exclusive, that's what we're going to say. Once you're exclusive, that's when you can start splitting things 50-50.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move on to another one. This one actually is kind of appropriate too, because Morgan is in a dating app rut. Morgan says, I've been extremely single the past 2+ years and I'm even having a hard time finding just one date. I use 3 different dating apps, but feel like I'm running out of guys on there. No one piques my interest anymore. If I do match, it barely gets past 5 messages until it fizzles out. How do you get out of the dating app rut, and why is it so hard to meet people in person nowadays? So for you, someone that's on dating apps, how often do you go on the dating app? How much are you swiping?
I feel like I use it as like a magazine sometimes, where I'm like bored on the couch. I'm like, let's see what's going on.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
that's like the main appeal of that.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, that was fun. And then I kind of put it away. But I've been in this before though, too, because sometimes like you'll match with someone and then you like, I matched with someone here and we like agreed to, we set a date to meet up and all the things. And then that date came around in radio silence. So
here, like at iHeartRadio?
No, like in LA. Oh. Yeah. I'm hitting all the employees here. So it's tough because unless you're not on the same page with things, which you can't because you don't know these people.
Right.
I would say if you're done with the apps or you're like over them, try to go do things that like you like or like that make you happy, and then maybe you'll meet someone there. Like maybe you want like to volunteer for something and you'll meet someone that has like common interests, or like go to like this place. Just be in the public so that people can like pursue you.
Tori's got to say something.
Wait, I have a great idea for this person. Just give the app to your friend. Yeah. And then have your friend set you up on dates.
Because they're going to be way more forward.
Then you're, and they're going to get it. They don't care. You're not invested. You're trusting your friends. And then that way you're kind of out of your rut and somebody's just like pushing you, being like, hey, I got you a date Tuesday. Go.
Yeah. Set like dating goals for yourself for the week. Like, I must go on 2 dates this week. I don't know.
Yeah. And to your point earlier, too, doing things that are interesting to you to meet people there, to kind of loop it all back together, is if you're meeting guys at bars, and then you're like, well, why are all these guys F-boys? Because it's probably because you're meeting them at bars.
Yeah. You don't want to meet a guy at the club.
No. Mm-mm. So, to your point, if you...
Not saying that you can't, but...
If you like to go on hikes, meet a guy on a hike, maybe.
Yeah, maybe get like a hiking crew. Like, go to like a, I don't know, they like Nike stores where they do like run clubs or something like that. Get like a crew.
Have you noticed in LA? I just found this out like a week ago. I've lived in LA for 4 years and I just learned about this. Midnight runners. Anyone's ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
Every like Wednesday, all throughout LA, people are just running through the streets at midnight.
At midnight?
Like,
sounds unsafe.
Big groups of people.
I would like want to hold someone's hand the whole time so I wouldn't get separated.
I think that's the point of the group, is power is in numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers, you know. Do you use Instagram as a dating app ever?
No.
Because for the listeners out there, Sydney Lutaco, follow her on Instagram.
That's not how you spell it, but it's fine. Yeah, you can DM me. I look at my DMs.
Lutuaco. What's the origin of that name?
It's Filipino.
Lutuaco.
Lutuaco.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to get it right.
It's fine.
One of these times.
Whatever.
Sydney Lutuaco.
Yeah, there you go.
So you look at your DMs.
I do.
Let me ask you this as well, because Vanessa, who obviously was engaged to Nick for a while, but then was very single for a long time, and now she's with her lovely boyfriend, she would say things like that too, that like guys just simply weren't DMing her.
No, I don't really get a lot of DMs from guys.
Is that right?
I got mostly from the show DMs from like Asian women, like being happy that I supported Asian women.
Representation.
That's like my general DMs, which I love.
Do you ever DM guys?
No.
What is your type?
I like people that are smart and like funny and witty, and someone that's like driven.
Mm.
And someone that's like easy on the eyes, tall if we can manage it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not too much to ask, right?
No, I don't think that's not too much at all.
Yeah. No. It's hard to tell that from like photos though. Sure. But if I look at your Instagram and it's like thirst trap photos, I just usually sign out. I don't like that.
I agree. I just got coffee with one of my friends who moved to Philadelphia not too long ago. And she's big on the dating app. She goes on a couple dates a week.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she went on a date like 2 days ago with this guy, and she showed me his profile, and he's like super handsome. Like super outdoorsy, like pretty successful, like everything that she wanted. And then she met up with him in person and he was like literally 5'4"
tall. Oh, that's happened to me too. And then you immediately get there and you're like, well, I'm disappointed and I don't want to sit here anymore.
She was like, she texted me on the date and she goes, Dean, you won't believe what just happened. Like, it's happening right now.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want your guy to be tall?
I mean, I would like that, or at least be able to like wear a heel if I wanted to. But I mean, that's, or just be able to like own
too.
His height, you right. know?
That's, I feel like that's a big thing for girls, is you want to be able to wear heels next to your
yeah.
guy.
That makes I would sense. Like that.
Okay, well, so if you're listening to this podcast and you know someone that Sydney Lutuaco.
Set me up. Lutuaco.
Lutuaco. It's so confusing. I don't know why.
I'm sorry.
It's an assortment of letters I'm not used to pronouncing.
My name is hard to pronounce.
No, it's just challenging for me
it's
of
okay,
all people.
It's okay.
I'm not smart enough. What are you up to next?
I'm trying to just get settled here. I've started auditioning and stuff for dance things. Which is always like difficult to put yourself back into, because it's usually a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
So, but it's going well. Like, it's nice because I have like a little base camp here, like a lot of friends from the show and like people from like New York or like growing up that I've known before that live here. So I have like a good group of friends, which is nice. And now I'm just kind of trying to figure out next steps.
There's a lot of guys from the show that live in Los Angeles that
are
single.
Yeah.
Why don't you date one of them?
A lot of the guys I know here are the ones from Paradise that, like, I've been hanging out with Matt Donald, but not romantically.
Why not?
Because, do you remember how
that
ended?
I don't.
He didn't give me a rose because I wasn't a supermodel.
Oh my gosh. I do remember that.
Yeah. So,
that was like the most surprising thing in the season, I feel like.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking.
That was silly.
That was funny.
So, but you guys are just purely platonic now.
Yeah, now I just like make fun of him.
What about like Wills?
I love Wills. We were like, I was like Wills' therapist on the beach.
I feel like you're friend zoning these guys now.
Probably. I mean, but any of the ones I met on the beach, I'm not going to date because we could have dated on the beach. We already are set up the friend. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe we'll good to build the foundation of friendship, and then you can.
Who do you think I'd be good with from
Matt Donald? I think he deserves a second chance.
I feel like I'd like steamroll him, you know?
Maybe that's what he wants and needs.
I don't think so.
Well, can you make me a promise?
What?
Can you continue to co-host this podcast with us so we can continue to get updates on your dating life?
I would love to continue
Heck
to co-host
yes.
this podcast.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Big thank you to Jonathan Bennett and his partner, James Vaughn. Of course, be sure to check out
Jonathan's show, Holiday Wars on Food Network. Big thank you to Jill from Wallet Hub. Be sure to check that out as well if you have any questions regarding the economics.
That was like Equinox and economics combined.
I'm so embarrassed.
Words are hard.
Be sure to check that out to dive into the economics of dating in your city. I'm sure you could probably learn a thing or two. I know I already did just by talking to her today. And of course, big thank you to Sydney Lotwako.
Yes, you did it.
What's your middle name?
Marie.
That's the most...
I know, basic. But my mom spelled it with two E's because she thought that would be like interesting.
It makes it slightly more interesting. Mine's so. Michael, so mine's not too interesting either.
Wow, lame.
Anyways.
I don't even think I know how to pronounce your last name. Unkert?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay, I did it.
Big thank you to you, of course, Sydney. We can't wait to continue to have you on as our co-host and be updated because it's nice to have the foibles of a single person.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going on dates for everyone.
Especially a new transplant into Los Angeles because like you're figuring it out, you're learning, you're adapting, all that kind of stuff.
I'm a baby here.
And you're obviously like... just trying to figure it out, which is great.
I think we all are. Right?
Anyways, it worked for me. I'm in a relationship now. It worked for Jared. He's married.
This is true.
Vanessa
Maybe
got
this
a boyfriend
like
and she quit the
lucky...
podcast. Have you ever seen Good Luck Chuck? That's basically what this is.
Oh,
Good luck.
Shoot. I'm going to meet the one right now.
Good Luck Chuck as a podcast. That'll do it for this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Sydney, you're awesome. I can't wait to talk to you more. I'm so glad you made it to LA.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Right when I moved out. It's perfect timing. For the listeners out there, be sure to tune in next week because maybe we will suck just a little bit less.
Hopefully.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.